music lovers, music aficionados, those of you that enjoy New Year's Eve, the changing of years, the changing of seasons, the changing of all things passing and new and becoming fresh again, welcome to the year-end edition of I almost said Saved by the Boys.
You almost did.
That was close. You caught that, yeah.
I did.
I'm podcast rusty. I haven't done one for a little bit here. I've got to get back in the groove here.
Let's get back in the groove then.
Brock White, Luke Jansky. Luke Jansky, yeah. Welcome to What Are You Listening To? This is our special year-end edition of What Are You Listening To? We're going to cover, based off what Spotify tells us, were our individual 10 favorite songs of 2017. I like this idea a lot.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's, you know, I don't know if you were like me, but when I looked at mine, it's always interesting every year because you're just like, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, man, that song. I did go through a phase.
Also, numbers don't lie.
No.
The clicks are there. You've listened to the songs. The proof's in the pudding. I mean, it's right there in front of your face. So we got to go with it, right? It's what it is.
For sure.
So if you got some Nickelback on there, speak now forever, hold your peace. let's go.
It's a little interesting for me because there are a lot of genre or artists too that I just prefer. I just listen to them on my vinyls, you know. Yeah. So there are some stuff missing, but for the most part, yeah, it's.
Well, we talked about this in the last episode we did too. That I'm a late convert to Spotify. I didn't come on until I think late August with Spotify. Yeah. So we're missing half a year of my musical taste here, but at the same time, I don't think it would have changed much.
No,
because as you'll see, spoiler alert: most of my lyrics is Jason Isbell. Nashville Sound came out in June, and that's pretty much the only thing I listened to from June until now has been that album for the most part, really. That and Pearl Jam. So the list is pretty accurate for me as well, even though it's kind of a smaller sample size. So this is going to be fun, though, man. First of all, the podcast, we're coming up on...
I think it's our 10th?
10th episode?
I believe so.
We do bi-weekly. We've had some special episodes, Tom Petty episode, the Pearl Jam episode. Mm-hmm. Been a fun, interesting past, what, 3-4 months now doing this?
Yeah, I think September was the first.
Yeah, we discovered some artists. We've had some good conversations about music and why you should support artists you like and music you like and kind of the state of the industry from two guys who might not be in the industry per se, but we still have a pretty good, I think, feel on things.
Yeah, we definitely got a genuine interest and intrigue and done our fair share of research and listening on
We read the dirt sheets.
Yeah.
We're reading the mags. Yeah, for sure. But this list is going to be fun. We both are doing a full 10 today. So why don't we jump into it right away? We're going to start off with, we're going to go in reverse order. We're going to do this, the Casey Kasem, Ryan Seacrest, Dick Clark, Top 40 Countdown. We're going from worst to first.
This is our BuzzFeed list of...
that's right.
Isn't it BuzzFeed that does all those lists?
Oh, they have tons of lists. They're all over the place. But they do lists well, though, because they put the lists on one page instead of in a slideshow. Mm. You're not clicking through it. You just get to scroll through the list.
Right.
There's nothing worse when you see a thing like the top 10 best dunks of the NBA of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to load like 10 individual pages
with
ads and junk and YouTube videos and Walmart coupon stuff. And it drives you nuts the whole time.
Two of them into it. You just switch the page real quick and go back and find something else.
Close it out. Yeah, yep. I'll read something else. Yep. My internet ADD is pretty real. So I'm going to start off with my number 10 song and my most listened to for the year. Go figure, Drive By Truckers, Mr. Jason Isbell, a tune called Never Gonna Change. It's pretty, I think, perfect for me for my musical taste this year. It's Never Gonna Change.
Yeah.
Here we go. We ain't never gonna change. So, what else do I say about a guy we've been talking about all year on the show, pretty much, that I've heaped endless praise on? What else can I say about him?
I think you've got it a little bit left in the tank.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And this song is, boy howdy, almost, what, 13 years old this song is? 12 years old, I want to say. And it still, like, has this edge, this crunch, this rawness to it. And I've always said I love when Isbell stretches out a little bit and brings the electric guitar out, kind of lets loose, because that guy can play.
Yeah, knowing you the way I do too, it can, like, the words of the song, especially the chorus, very much are very, very Brock-esque.
A little defiant, a little chip on my shoulder.
I wouldn't say it like that. Just, you know, well, maybe that's a way to put
a little
it.
Bit.
A brass way to put it, but
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You are who you are.
Yep, and that's who they are. That's a great song. Jason Isbell and the Drive-By Truckers. I can't recommend enough. If you've liked anything I've said about Jason Isbell on this show, go find all the Drive-By Truckers you can and enjoy it, because that's where he started. That was his first band. And he's got some incredible work he's done to those guys you might not have heard yet. So, Luke, it's your number 10 song of the year.
Yeah, I got, Arctic Monkeys. Yeah, a little weird for me because I brought it up to play in the band. And then I just kind of gravitated a whole new love for it after we started practicing a bit. I'm like, God, I just really like the Arctic Monkeys in this song. So
they've been around a while.
They have been around a while.
We don't realize that, but they've been pretty dominant. But they've been on the scene for at least since we got out of high school, I think, like early 2000s, mid-2000s, is that right? 2005-ish?
Yeah, 5-ish, yeah. They're, you know, another one of those classic huge bands over in Europe and other places like that that just haven't, like, completely phenomenally crossed
found
over
their,
American, you know.
Found their moment over here. Haven't had their viral video yet.
Yeah, or whatever. They haven't had a, you know, a hip-hop feature on their song yet, so.
All right. Here's Fluorescent Adolescence. All right, yeah, Fluorescent Adolescence.
Fluorescent Adolescence,
here we
yeah.
go. We are those dreams, but as daft as they seem, as daft as they seem, my love, when you dream them all. Flicking through a little book of sex tips, remember when the bars were all electric, and now when she told she's gonna get it.
I just love that band.
Could you hear some organ still in there, too, a little piano?
Oh, yeah.
Background, yeah.
They're a very witty band when it comes to how they put together the music in their songs.
Very cheeky.
Yeah.
Very cheeky.
But yeah, it's Arctic Monkeys. I mean, if you don't know them by now, go check them out. If not, there's not much I can say that hasn't been said already, so.
Let's see here. Next, yeah,
what do you got going on?
I got Stapleton next, man.
Yeah. I like
Stapleton
this one.
Stapleton had himself a year. He put out two albums this year. Put out From A Room Volume 1 and From A Room Volume 2. The Nashville RCA Studios, the A Room, the famous A Room. Almost got torn down and turned into apartments in a strip mall a few years ago, but they saved it, so here we are. And Stapleton kind of pays homage, tribute to this classic A Room, and not From A Room, from A Room Volume 1 and 2.
Right.
First one came out in May, had this song on it, was one of the lead singles off it, and I just fell in love with this song, everything about it. I learned to play it on guitar, so we got that going. That's, yeah.
Nice.
Very, very poorly, but I can still do it. I got the basics down. So that's probably why it's on the list so much, because I jammed through it like nonstop, like a month, like trying to get everything figured out. But here's Broken Halo's Chris Stapleton. Again, a guy that I don't know if I can heap any more praise on this man than I have in the past few years. But
you've been, yeah, on the show, you really haven't dove into him too hard yet.
I haven't.
You
no,
know,
no.
But it's coming, I know.
It'll happen, yeah. My shadow, broken halos, folded wings that used to fly.
They've all gone wherever they. You don't hear it at the end of that one, but remember when we were talking, it's been quite a few episodes ago, but we were talking about Fraisender songs. Mm-hmm. You've got like three or four really some of the better Fraisender songs I've heard in the past 10 years
I like
on
songs
this list.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a good like just stamp of this is what I'm saying.
Here's
the
song. Here's what I'm talking about. There it is.
Yep.
Yep. Stapleton, we've talked about this. I've followed the guy for a long time. Keeps the cards close to his chest professionally. He doesn't talk about many things.
Yeah.
Plays it really cool because he came up first as a songwriter. And that's how he paid his bills for a long time. Had a cool quote on Joe Rogan about how the commerce pays for the art.
I love that quote.
That interview is worth listening to 10 times over. If you haven't heard it, go find the Chris Stapleton Joe Rogan interview. Listen to it. Enjoy it. Because it's one of the first only times he's really kind of dove into what kind of makes him tick, how he feels about the current state of music. And it's a great interview all around.
He's very mysterious in that interview too. Like you can, like you said, he plays everything close to his chest, but you can tell there's an opinion there. But he's just very
not going to say it.
You know, very proper and very polite about his opinions and thoughts. Or it's funny because he kind of displays himself as kind of like an aw shucks guy, but you can tell he's extremely smart and there's a lot of depth to him. But
and you can tell that he knows that he's part of the industry. He's one of the big pies, the big cogs in the industry. Top-selling country male artist the past couple years. First Traveler on these albums. He was selling like hotcakes. Grammys, the whole deal. Tennessee Whiskey for this like the third year in a row or second year in a row was the most played song on Touch Tune jukeboxes across America.
You know, and I have a bone to pick with that.
Yeah.
That is a great song.
Yeah.
But I hate coming into bars and I hear that song because I'm like, bow, 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 bow. Because I'm here to have fun and enjoy myself. I'm not.
I know.
It's like, it's definitely throw your arms around your friend and sing along, you know, and all that. But
try to sing like Stapleton does.
Yeah. You know, or, you know, if you're, you know, getting your DD ride back with your friends from your yep. Uber ride back with your friends from the bar and you're singing it or whatever. I get that. But like at 10 o'clock at night, I don't want to hear Tennessee Whiskey. I don't want to get bummed out while I'm trying to have a good time. So it's nothing against the song. It's just, but when you say that, I laugh because I said it probably this whole spring of like, how many times do I have to hear this song tonight?
You hear it like 3 or 4 times in a night.
If not way more.
Yeah.
But it's great. I'm not knocking it by any means. I just, it's funny.
Stapleton. Good for him though. I mean, you're right about the mysterious part because there's things he could definitely say, and he could bury some artists if he wanted to. And you feel like part of him wants to, but then part of him's like, well, I'd gain nothing by doing this.
Yeah.
Why rock the boat? Keep cashing them checks, doing what I do, and he's good with it.
You know, the best way I could explain him in a sentence would be, whether it be music, personal or professional, the rivers look shallow, but they run very deep.
Very deep.
You know?
Yeah. He's not, like you said, he's not just some aw shucks, long-haired hippie country boy.
You know, and he plays like, and I think part of him is that, but yeah, go check out that Joe Rogan podcast with Chris Stapleton. Yeah, it's great. Definitely.
Next up, Luke, your number 9 song, you have a song by Pete Yorn, Murray.
Yeah, I'm a little late to the party on Pete Yorn, but we'll play it and then I'll get into it. Yeah, here we go.
A little Murray. That is a song. That's a you song. That's a Luke song.
That is a very Luke song.
Yeah.
We anyway. So Pete Yorn, that album came out like 2003 or 2004. I'll look real quick. But it came out. You know. Let's look here. Bad radio. 2001. There we go. Kay. I knew it was a long time ago, and I'd heard the name a bunch. You know, and then I'd say around when I was 25-ish, I dated a gal that really liked him, and I remember she put his album in, and I, you know, had a few drinks on it, kind of vividly remember it. And then about 2.5 years ago, I was doing a little Spotify digging, and the name popped up. So I was like, I've heard this name so many times. I should check it out. And yeah, dude, it was like the most greatest thing. I heard this, the first thing I heard, and I'm like, wow, this is great. And then I dove into this album and thought it was one of the best albums I'd heard probably in a long time. And come to find out, they were releasing like the 15-year anniversary, so I got it on a vinyl, and I've been blaring that album.
Makes you wonder how many artists we've missed around when we were younger, because there was no Spotify. Guys like him, you would have got any right away, but like, oh, this is great.
Oh,
I just didn't know.
Yeah, like Pior would have been very up there for a long time. I just like, he's got a great songwriting. He has songs like that are very just like, yep, that makes sense. That's how it sounds. It's very easy to get into. Then he also has songs that you really need to try to get past kind of the weirdness of it, and then once you do and you kind of really sit in the middle of the song, it's very beyond enjoyable and rewarding.
He always strikes me as one of those guys that falls into the category of your favorite artist, one of those guys. There's a lot of
that
people
is,
we like that.
That is like most of the people, like Butch Walker.
That you love.
Pete Yorn. Yeah, those are all, like, I for some odd reason, like, artists, you know? I don't know what it is.
But well, to be super nerdy, it's like being a wrestling fan, right? And it's your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler kind of thing.
Yeah.
The guy that's a good worker, clean, not the most noticeable, not the most pushed, but he's got a certain skill set to him that makes him very desirable to have in the company, have in the fold, you know?
Yeah, I like the guys that, it's pretty great. So anyway, a little bit of Pete Yorn. If you haven't checked out his first album, I can't remember the name of it, but go check it out. It's wonderful.
I got my girl, Brandi Carlile up next.
Ooh, yeah, there we go.
Love her. Love her voice, man. Late Morning Lullaby. This is on one of the lists when we first did the show, one of our first episodes. I cannot recommend enough Brandi Carlile to go check out there and listen to. Kind of molds all the best parts of like the 90s female rock movement and a little bit of the Americana vibe to it. And it's really good harmonies and melodies, too. She's just fantastic.
So Diamond in the Rough, for sure.
Late Morning Lullaby of Brandi Carlile.
Beautiful,
Love it.
What's not to like about that song? I don't know.
That's the one song. Like, sometimes you ever show a song to somebody, and you're like awaiting that reaction you never get.
Yeah.
And you sit there and go, well, "What? Why didn't you like that song?"
This is most of my life.
Yeah. What part of that song do you not like? Like, give me one reason why that's not a good song.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I agree with you. It's a lot of my things, like waiting for to show someone something, like a song or a movie. Yeah. So you're going to love this. Yeah. And they see it and they're like underwhelmed. And you're like, okay, next time. This is, good talk.
Do you have any Fergie?
Fergalicious. All right, man.
Yeah, next up I got...
Brian Emo.
That's the name of the song. The name of the band is Grieving. And I don't know, I kind of found this song right around the time that we decided to start doing the podcast, and it really fell in with us.
So I have no clue who these guys are.
They're kind of new and part of the whole scene now. There's a big scene of kind of punkier stuff. And yeah, I guess I listen to it a lot.
Let's hear it. Let's fire it up. It's Brian Emo by the band Grieving.
It's like a missing song from Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
I was just gonna say, I want to fire up some Tony Hawk right now.
I got the HD version of Tony Hawk. It's called Tony Hawk HD, and it's the first two Tony Hawk games, but they reskinned it in 1080p, like 60 frames per second. It looks beautiful, and like it's all the first two games, all the old levels and people, and it's.
Tell me every time you hear
Superman, probably
Jerry was a race car driver. You don't think of Tony Hawk?
I always think of. Goldfinger's Superman, Millen Collins, whatever the name of that song was.
Was it Knock on Wood in there too, Real Big Fish?
No. That's you're thinking of Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. But Legwagon and Millen Collins and Goldfinger, who I always think of.
I always think of that Primus song.
Jerry was a race car driver.
Yeah.
We
that bass line.
I used to play in a band with a bass player that we played some Primus songs, and yeah, that's it reminds me a little bit of that now that I think about it.
Primus.
But, yeah, anyway, enough of that. What do you got next?
Well, not to be that guy, but the less said about Primus, the better, in my opinion.
it's definitely got a taste for it or you don't, you know.
Oh, hold on, I got a little glitch in the system here. All right, I have, guess who? Jason Isbell and the 400 unit from the album The Nashville Sound. A little tune called Hope the High Road. This was, like I said, Jason kind of let his hair down on this album. A little more rocking tunes in this one. Stretched it out. This one's fantastic. It's kind of one of the more upbeat songs in the album. Good message to it. Good album. Here we go. It's back. I know you're tired and you ain't sleeping well. Uninspired, likely mad as hell. But wherever you are, I hope the high road leads you home again.
Spoiler alert, that's my favorite song on your list this
is
week.
Is it?
Yep.
That's all right.
That's pretty...
It's a great song.
Awesome. I think the kids say banger.
Yeah.
Or the kids still say bangers, I don't know.
You know, in a year full of hopelessness, a lot of people felt this year with all the craziness going on. It was like the year that never ends. The year just beat us up over and over for a whole 12 months
straight. It was ridiculous.
Exhausting. If you follow the news, you follow politics, anything. It was a rough year. It was an exhausting year. Too much. The news cycle needs to stop once in a while. I just didn't for a whole year. A message like that, hope the high road and hope that leads you home again. That's nice to hear once in a while. You know,
yeah, just a well put together song. It's you know, in a sense of a songwriter, it's done very by the book, but with his like these little nuances in here that are very not by the book, and it makes it a very fun to listen to song and very very well done.
All right, man. Up next, you got Pepper.
My first one making a second appearance on the show. Well, Crazy Love. I need a part of your crazy love. It's a crazy love. It's a crazy love. Not so hard to persuade. I don't have much to add. I just love Pepper. And
you love the reggae.
I do love reggae.
Yeah, we had this talk in an episode a couple episodes ago about the... It just hits the spot sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Hits the spot all the time for me.
Yeah, it's got its... yeah. We've all got those things.
Yeah.
I've got trap rock, you got reggae.
Reggae.
Reggae. Yeah. Can't help myself. I have to do it.
Next up, you got a jam.
Yeah,
that I
Pearl Jam, man.
I had made it to this one on the live. I think I had either skipped over it or just wasn't paying attention.
It's from Let's Play 2 soundtrack. It's the closing title. It's a Beatles song. And it's one of the songs where they played the rooftop concert, the comeback one. Mm-hmm. They played this song as part of the rooftop concert. Pearl Jam played it a few times in Chicago over the years. But it's I've Got a Feeling. And this live cut of this, you can tell Eddie is about four bottles of wine deep.
Yep.
And he's at Wrigley. And he's loving life. And he's the best time of his life. And he's having fun. And it's Dad Vedder that I love. Dad Eddie Vedder. I love when he gets in that mode.
Yeah, you can tell that he's not like concerned with... not that he sings bad, but he's not concerned with notes or anything proper. He's just singing a song that he loves, and he's where he's at, and he's happy. Like I said, Dad Vedder. He's very at peace doing his thing.
It's cool.
You can tell.
It's fun. Here we go. This is I Got a Feeling as covered by Pearl Jam from the Let's Play 2 soundtrack. I won't be late.
Who knew Pearl Jam could lay down such a thick groove? I mean, they're a groovy band. Well, but that is
Jeff and Matt. Yeah, he could.
That is a thick groove.
So that song.
I'm not worried about Jeff.
The rest of the band.
What's the drummer's name again? I'm drawing a blank. Matt Cameron.
Matt Cameron. Yeah.
He's a phenomenal drummer. I think one of the best from the '90s. But I would never call him a groove drummer.
No, not at all.
I would definitely call him a clock drummer. But
I think he said that about himself probably. I mean, he wasn't a groove drummer ever. I mean,
but he laid it down thick there.
That song rocks. Yeah. The first time I heard that song, I had to get up and move. It's like your hips and shoulders start swaying, and you just start dancing to it. That song, if I was in a band, I'd be playing that song every night.
Yeah.
That's a fun tune, man. And I play it that way, too, just like they play it there.
You'd be looking at the set list, just like counting down how many songs till you got to it.
Yeah. And if listen to that song and go with the full thing, because Eddie really gets into some of that and just goes off, and it's fun as hell. It's fantastic. Eddie Vedder. Love the man. So shout out Swanee.
Yeah, Swanee.
Had his third baby.
Stone.
We got Vedder, McCready, and Stone. We got the band. The whole band's rolling.
Holy smokes.
I love it. Good for him.
That is great.
Congratulations, Swanee. Yeah. Swanee Cord. Nice work, people. Nice work. Good work. Ready to keep the band going. Keep the band together.
Yeah, do you think maybe they're all the kids are going to learn how to play instruments and cover Pearl Jam?
I sure hope so.
That would be so cool.
A Pearl Jam family cover band?
I would show up to those shows anywhere.
Ooh, that'd be the greatest thing ever.
That would be so cool.
It'd be fantastic.
It'd be a very come full circle moment.
Be very cool. Speaking of circles.
Yeah, Mike Doughty. Let's play the song.
I always
and
say
then
his
I'll...
name wrong.
Nah, it's fine. What do you
Mike
say?
Mike Doughty.
Doughty? Oh, Doughty.
Doughty. Mike Doughty, Circles.
I'll
a song
it.
You'll know when you hear it.
Oh, yeah. Then when the wind set down in funnel form, I pulled you in. I don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around. So I'll try not to dive too much into Doughty, but that song is originally from a 90s band called Soul Coughing that Mike was in. That was kind of a moderately popular band.
That was a moderate hit for them when it came out.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a wonderful book about his, if you're interested in Doughty or Soul Coughing at all, know them. He's got a wonderful, biography or whatever. But anyway, so Mike Doughty, this song, I've known this song since I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I've been following Mike Doughty Mike Doughty's probably one of my top 20 favorite artists of all time. You know,
got some cool solo work out there.
He's
really
got
fun
phenomenal
stuff.
But this song, it was weird. I had a buddy from Bismarck text me the song because he's got Spotify and he'll text me songs. And I was like, oh man. And he texted me the Soul Coughing one. And I was like, you got to check out because this album, Mike Doughty redid a bunch of old Soul Coughing songs and kind of made him sound like good. It's a long story why the song sounded the way they did, but he made him sound like a little more whatever.
Clean up.
And I just got into it again. I don't know what it was. So there was kind of like around like October or something. There was like a month straight where I played Circles everywhere I went. It felt great. And I was into it.
Did your
it.
Band play that song?
We did. We played it for a little bit. But it's such a weird one. We're not going to throw it away. We're just finding a proper spot to put it in certain nights. Because it's not one you just, you know, just when there's a full dance floor, you know, just bust out Circles.
I can see it in a medley being played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's in this weird tuning and have to augment it. But anyway, yeah, I dearly love Mike Doty. If you like that song at all, I would check out the Howdy Melodic or Melodic.
Howdy Melodic, yeah.
Howdy Melodic, yeah. There we go.
That's a good album.
It's a phenomenal album. Yeah. It's one of my favorites. What got me into him, and
it's one I came across, and I'm like, that's a Loot guy.
Oh yeah,
this dude. I'm like, this is fantastic.
He makes. He's like. Here's how I describe Mike Doty. He makes like commercial jingle music.
Yeah, like, it's very palatable. It is.
It's very short to the point.
But it's not. But it's also not throwaway.
No,
it's not as. It's not. There's a little layers to it, but it's very palatable. It's very easy to digest.
If you
in the most complimentary way possible, I can say that.
Yeah. Well, it's like here. I'll just end it with this. If you took like a very viable artist that wasn't a sellout and just did his own thing and wasn't trying to make money, and then he just naturally wrote very catchy music.
I mean, Mike Doty.
It's Mike Doty.
Not Doughty.
Guy, he used to smoke like 3 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day.
Have you seen him in concert before?
No, I wish. I almost went to him in the cities.
I was going to say, I thought he was First Avenue recently-ish. Mm-hmm. And I thought one of our Minneapolis friends went and saw him there and had like a picture with him or something. And
yeah, he's great. He does this thing called the question jar shows, to where like you show up to these shows. Yeah. And then you can write any question on a piece of paper and you throw it in the jar, and as the show goes on, he picks them out and he legitimately answers. He doesn't go, "Well, that's a dumb question." But anyway, yeah, one day I'll see Doty.
Good. Excuse my cold. A little coffee fit here. It's that time of year. It's the most germy time of year.
I wonder who you got next.
Boy, I think it might be Jason Isbell. Ding, 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 ding. Flying Over Water from the album Southeastern. I love the words of this song. Mm-hmm. I love the way that it rocks. I love... the whole song. Here we go. Take my hand, baby, we're over land. I know flying over water makes you cry. Where's that liquor card? Maybe we should.
Second favorite song on your list.
So relatable.
Oh, yeah.
And he sings about liquor carts and it works. It doesn't come across like forced or cheesy. It's like, oh, yeah, where's the liquor cart? Maybe I shouldn't start.
That's one where he starts up about, like, I haven't been, like, messed up in, like, a long time. You know, what I love about that song is, like, he somehow makes words that, like, if someone else were to sing, I'd be like, well, you couldn't have tried a little harder to say the same thing, but not
so simple,
so plain, and, like, a fourth grader wrote it. But he has a very Bruce Springsteen way of, like,
right. Very everyman-ish.
Well, just how he writes things. Not anybody can make them work like he does.
No, what I'm saying is it's this goes back to relatable. Like Mike Doty, it's the words are never... Sometimes his stuff is really complex and he really gets wordsmithy on things. Sometimes it's pretty straightforward and it really works well. And it's not like so simple it hits you over the head between the eyes like, oh, you dummy. But it's like, oh yeah, I get that. I get the message of the song. Not to read too far into what the song means. I pick up on it right away.
Yeah.
You know, the song's about a guy and a girl, and she hates flying, and they think they shouldn't be drinking, and here we are, and it's the story, you know? And it's a story you can follow from A to B very easily, but it's well done. I mean, phenomenally well done.
Jason Isbell, I came to the fruition. I'll try to make this short. The other night, I watched Noah Gallagher do... he had this like interview / play songs, and it's some songwriter thing from Europe. And he played, I'll get to Isbell real quick, but he played Don't Look Back in Anger. Mm-hmm. And I literally had always kind of been in the back of my head, but like it dawned on me that like that's my favorite song as songwriters go. Like I think that's one of the most well written songs of all time. And I had started thinking about how Noel Gallagher is probably one of the last proper songwriters for a long time. And then I think. Like songwriters. And I think Isbell is the first person I've heard since. I mean, I'll throw Ryan Adams in there.
Sure, yeah.
You know, too. But Ryan's, you know, is not quite, it's not that he's worse by any means, but he's not quite in that relatability area as Isbell is. And so that's my compliment to Jason Isbell.
That's a huge compliment.
Since Noel Gallagher, I think you're the best songwriter as far as relatability and just writing good, proper songs.
Yeah, Dylan meets Springsteen meets Neil Young meets, I don't know, everything that's great about music. Everything. I mean, really, any awards he's going to win, which he'll win a bunch of awards coming up soon
for
that album, deserves them all and then some. I mean, it's one of the best front-to-back albums I've heard in years, long time. And it just, you can play it the whole way through, and every time it's you find new things and hear certain things or feel certain things, and it's like, that's an album. It's a full body of work. It wasn't a song or this. it's a full body at work. And that song came off of Southeastern, which everyone called his coming out album 2 years ago, or four years ago now, I guess. But Southeastern, in its own rights, was a masterpiece. And he's just so careful about what he puts out to be digested. He's not just putting throwaway stuff out there. But it'd be really easy for him to put a couple of his home runs on an album, mm-hmm. the really, really good stuff that he does, like If We Were Vampires in this last album, mm-hmm. Hope in the High Road, and then fill it with just stuff to get the album out as fast as he can. It's easy to do that if you're a songwriter or if you're a musician.
Yeah, that was the 90s.
Yeah. Instead, here's a guy that's like, well, you know, we're going to take a year and a half to make this album, and it's going to be perfect, and we're going to put it out there, and it's going to be awesome. And that's what an album should be. And not worried about singles, and we're not worried about iTunes. I'm worried about a full body at work, and it's so cool to have that. Like, there's still people like doing that, you know.
And he, I don't know. He's the one. I think he's the one everyone needs to. I don't know. I'm lost for words sometimes when I think about Isbell.
We'll pull up those quotes I sent you at the end of this thing too. We'll talk more about him in a little bit because I sent you that NPR interview.
Yeah,
where he was really, I thought really poignant about his stance as being an artist mm-hmm. and a voice. And a personality this day and age.
Yeah, you know, and nothing against Americana. It's just, you know, is that, you know, that's the only last real, like, genuine genre that we have right now.
And Americana gets a lot of crap, too, because there's a lot of people trying to shoehorn themselves in Americana because they want to look vintage, they want to look retro.
Incredible.
Incredible. Credibility is huge. Oh, you're an Americana artist, just like Jason Isbell. That's a credibility bump. He said it himself. He said, okay, they gave me a CMA Best Album of the Year nomination. I'm not one of those people. I don't play their games. But you know what? I'll take that exposure, and they'll take my credibility, and we'll call it a day, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely – him and Stapleton really have good grasp on, like, how screwed up the industry is now. Being a legitimate, just genuine artist.
Yep.
Not saying they're the greatest artists of all time, and I'm not saying they're not.
No, no.
It's just in the overall –
they're navigating these waters very well right now.
As, yeah.
Yeah, because it's –
being genuine artists.
It's a tricky spot to be. I couldn't imagine, you know, doing what they do now in this day and age. I mean, we talked about how it's also – there's benefits. It's easier to get – your stuff out there, but there's also a lot of cons, like with labels and getting a machine behind you. It's really tough right now because unless you're skinny jeans and looking good and or a blonde bombshell, it's hard to get
have songs to rely on like Oasis, and it doesn't exactly. matter if you come out with a new album. This many million people will buy it every time.
Exactly. Yeah, there's more Isbell to come, so we'll just kind of take it easy because a lot of stuff, we go a lot of ways we go on Isbell for sure. Luke, who do you got next? You have a band called Nothing, right?
Yep.
Vertigo. Song called Vertigo Flowers. Here we go. Knowing you a long time, that fits your sound profile, definitely.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you would have shown me in the Sims Street department back in 2003. They're like, oh, yeah.
Very vintage.
You got
sound.
This, you got Silverchair. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of actually this list. I laughed because I was like, most songs on here kind of cover a good portion of my sound profile. Not all of it, but a good portion of it. Yeah. No, God showed that song in 2016, kind of lost the wayside because I was listening to other stuff and made its way back in this year. And I just set surfer rock 90s and a little bit of shoegaze in mm-hmm. there. And it's perfect.
Like it. All right, man. Here's a guy I really enjoy. Andrew Combs. This song was on the list when we first started the show. Mm-hmm. The wordplay in this song, the way it's written, everything about it is just like, ooh. And this is one of the songs you talked about, having that ending phrase, ending statement mm-hmm. that really hammers home. This is Part-Time Lovers, Full-Time Fools, Andrew Combs. Another guy that if you're not checking this guy out.
Yeah, do it.
If you enjoy any of this Americana, folky, rocky, middle ground stuff, this is like the wheelhouse, that stuff. It's like the sweet spot, the kind of the soul of it almost.
Yeah, I dare you to download this song and not like it. Yeah, I dare you.
I double dog dare you. Here we go. Two young kids, good Lord, with nothing to lose. We were just part-time lovers, full-time.
It doesn't get much better than that.
That guy's really good. Yeah. A lot of cool tunes right there.
It's got definitely a lot of bright things in his future, it seems.
Again, I wonder how like songs like that just aren't blowing up radio waves. But radio sucks, so who knows why.
Just in a different spot, you know.
Yeah, that way different spot. Tribal Seeds, Ben, they're back for you.
They're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
hitting our top four now right here.
We are.
Top five, top four. Yeah, top four.
Yeah, this is just a single they released. It didn't come on their new album, and it wasn't on their last album. Their new album just came out, by the way, like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And it's wonderful and love it. And I don't know. I just guess I listened to this one a whole bunch while it was out this year.
Tribal Seeds, Surrender on Luke's List. Just speak from the get-go. Girl, give me your love. I need your love to light the stars up above. Oh, when she moves slow, surrender your love.
I have nothing to add to it. I just love
you. Love Tribal Seeds. What a party. What a vibe.
Yep.
Feel Ayari, man. All right. Guess who's next?
Talking Heads.
Jason Isbell. Talking Heads. Jason Isbell, the 400 Nashville Sound. A song called Tupelo. I get out of this hole. I'm going to Tupelo. There's a girl.
I want to be in my Chevy pickup that I'll have, and I want to have this song blaring, and I want to have a lady in my life. At one point, that will happen.
That song almost aches a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a sad story. You ache when you hear it. The song Tupelo. It's a beautiful tune, but it's like, oh, you feel the... Feel the despair. Feel the loneliness in the guy's voice in there.
I didn't mean lady in my life. I meant like.
No, I know.
I meant like lady, like a breakup or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like in this song, though, you feel that, like that. Ugh, mm-hmm. that gut punch you feel.
But it's still like a comforting gut punch, though. It's not like Hurt by Nine Inch Nails or something.
His songs always have a message of hope in there, a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Not many of his tunes are like, just give up and move on. It's like. It gets better.
Yeah, it's like a hug of reality. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's him. That's a good way to describe Jason Isbell's music. It's just a really conscious, aware hug of reality.
Yeah,
not a head in the sand. Everything's gonna be okay. Hug of reality, but suck for a while. Things are gonna be tough, but it's gonna be okay.
Not a punch in the face of reality. No. It's just like hey man, this is life. You know, yeah.
It's you know what, man, wear comfortable jeans and listen to Jason Isbell. That's. Get older, enjoy life.
Right.
Sit on a good couch, eat good food, find good music. That's why I like getting older. You got St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Yeah,
this guy wears nice shoes. Nice shoes this guy wears.
And nice suits.
He does. He's clean. He's dapper.
He is clean.
And if you saw the guy, you would never think the voice comes out of his mouth. Nope. Ever. No way.
But they're awesome. They should have an album coming out this coming year, so I'm looking forward to that.
I highly recommend his NPR Tiny Desk concert where he's standing on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who's this asshole? And he just kills it.
But as soon as you see him, you're like, oh no, he's not a douche. He's just
he's just that's him.
Yep,
that's who he is. He's very very fun.
Yep, he grew up watching James Brown and all them. Yeah. You know, that's how we learn.
Here
anyway,
we go.
Yeah, flow with it. My band ever gains organ player, that song will be done, and I will probably I wish any organ players out there, hit me up.
Join Luke's band.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yep.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones, check them out.
Here we go, Luke. We're down to our last two each other's list here. Of course, I have Jason Isbell. This is from Southeastern a few years ago. This song got a lot of play, I'm guessing, because I put it on the girlfriend's playlist. I think she loves this song, which most women do, and I do too. Cover Me Up by Jason Isbell. Probably his biggest hit as a solo artist before this most recent album.
Mm-hmm.
Just this song that instantly just grabs you and pulls you in and makes you pay attention to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cover Me Up. Here we go. It's cold in this house and I ain't going out to chop wood. Cover me up and know you're enough to use me for good. Wow, what better way to say it?
And that's another reality.
It is. Now, I'm going to go off on a little, not a tangent, but I highly recommend, if you like that song, that you seek out the Zac Brown Band Spotify sessions and listen to their cover of Cover Me Up.
Really?
And it just rings, and it's got a little more harmony to it. I like Isabel's version better, but it's a unique contrast to have side by side because they stay true to the song. They don't gussy it up. But with his guitar and his kind of baritone voice, and you get the band in there, and it's a little more depth, a little more bread to it almost. It's a nice.
I'll have to look at
it's that. A nice cover. It is. Because Zach, I'm a huge Zach Brown. I was a huge Zach Brown fan. They took some missteps the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. I thought they had one of the few bright spots in mainstream country because the band was so deep. They tried so many different things. Their harmony was great. They played really fun commercial, but also like music for everyone else. Like, it was kind of for the diehard music fans. Mm-hmm. Then they just went too far left, and they kind of lost a lot of people. But as a live band themselves, they're still phenomenal to watch. They're like a 12-piece band he has on the road with him.
They, you know, I've never really got into them much. I've never disliked them. They're kind of like the Eagles for me. I don't hate them, don't dislike them.
That's a good analogy. That's a very good analogy.
You know, I just...
A good comparison.
Yeah. I've always thought of them before they've, you know, the last couple of years, two or three years here, the band. I always thought of them as like the Foo Fighters of country music.
Ooh, and that makes sense because they're good friends with Dave Grohl, too.
Yeah,
good buddies.
Do whatever they want. They're there to have fun, and that sounds like a good idea. So let's try it. Let's do it. You know, it's... And they always pull it off well, and I don't know.
But check out Zach Brown's cover of Cover Me Up, because it's worth seeking out. I think you'll really enjoy it. I think anyone that likes that song will enjoy their cover of it.
Yeah.
It's got a real warmth to it, kind of. A little more... Isabel's is kind of stark and cold, kind of like, you know, haunting. Theirs is a little more like, I'm going to cover you up. I got you.
Yeah, cover you up, baby.
Cover you up, baby. Mm, that's right. Number two, Luke, on your list. What do you got, buddy?
Band I just discovered. Actually, I discovered just a couple days before our first episode.
Oh, yeah, these guys. You love these guys.
Yeah, Circle Waves. I played a different song by them called T-Shirt Weather, but I love this album. It's probably one of my favorite albums I found this past year. Just a good mix of punk rock and a little bit of Brit pop rock and, you know, a little bit of catchiness, and I love them. Circle Waves. This one's called Best Years. You know, that song couldn't have come at a more perfect time in my life, because not that I'm old by any means, I'm 33, but I'm not, you know, in my young, you know, do whatever I'm going to do phase. And like, I just like the words in that song, because every now and then I'll have days where I'm like, oh man, I'm just feels like I'm flying through my youth. You know, and sometimes I just kind of want to
stay like, oh, my knees hurt, my back hurts. What's
yeah, and some nights I just need to go out with some people and enjoy myself and still do it while I can. So I love that song to death. We play it in the band, too, and it's one of my faves to do.
I feel like we're kind of like a modern Donnie and Marie. I'm a little bit Americana. You're a little bit pop, punk, rock and roll.
Yeah, a little bit of rock. Yeah, a little bit of.
It's good, though. It's good. Good dichotomies. Here's my number one, Luke, my most listened to song of 2017 on Spotify. Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, The Nashville Sound, Last of My Kind. A song we both highly, highly like. Apparently, I like it a lot because it's my most listened to song this year. I can't get enough of this one. The words, everything about it, the message in the song, the way it's put together, it's just perfect.
Especially words-wise, I remember the first time I listened through this album. This one... In more ways than one, really, it had this lasting stamp. That was the one I found myself before I really got into the album going back to the most. I love this song.
Let's play it for the people. My number one song of 2017, Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, The Nashville Sound, Last of My Kind.
But the river can't take me back in time. My daddy's dead and gone. And the family farm's a parking lot. Walton's five and nine. Am I? Last of my kind.
Yeah, there's so many well thought out lyrics in that song and statements that, yeah. I dare you to check that song out. I'm going to say that a bunch. I dare you to check out Jason Isbell and not like him. That's what I'm going to say.
If anyone gives it a fair shot, a fair shake, I don't see how you could not enjoy at least something from his library.
Mm-hmm.
Some song, something.
Yeah.
Because he kind of covers a lot of bases, too.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. He just. great songwriters. It regardless if that's your genre or not, you know, he's undeniable. You know,
Luke, your number one song for 2017.
There's my bass player showed me this band on our way to our first gig this year, and I fell in love with it. It's my favorite album that I've heard this past year. In my eyes, this is the punk band out there right now. Not pop punk, not hardcore punk, just the whole genre together. I love these guys.
The world of punk, they're the kings right now.
I feel.
Are they a big thing on the scene? Are they killing it?
They're getting to be. They're like this old school underground movement of they've built up this fan base that loves them. They're starting to do great. And they've done it the old fashioned way. They make the music they make and they tour and people love them and they're legit, man. They're the most legit punk band I've seen in a while.
Luke's number one song of 2017, DVP by Pup from the album The Dream Is Over.
I can't tell you.
That's punk.
I can't tell you how many times I've been a little, not like bummed out, but just a little lower on the totem pole of vibes.
Seasonal depression, if you will.
Or, or whatever going on, or just a little tired, and put that song, and I'm ready for the day. Bring on the day.
I want to get up and run through a wall.
Yeah, I want to see everybody. I want to do, I love it.
Good stuff. I like that a lot. I like, if it's punk, I want it to be loud, fast, and angry.
Yep.
And spirited. That song is all those things. It checks all those boxes on the way down. I like that.
Yep, that's the best way. That's why I think they're the best right now.
Luke, do you have a favorite album of 2017?
Well, we talked about this earlier. I don't have one that came out this year.
But you have an album that was your favorite album this year. You might throw it out there.
I would say probably either that last Puff album, my last three songs, the St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Pup, most recent
Circle Waves.
Those three albums have been just, I love them.
Mine, obviously, The Nashville Sound by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Front to back, the best thing I've heard in a long time put out there by anybody. An album that really, I've always liked Jason Isbell a lot, but really turned the corner for me on how much I appreciate him as an artist and really made me pay attention, a little more attention to who he is and what he's about. And I can't get enough of the guy. Can't get enough of him.
Well, thanks to this podcast, I always liked him because we were friends and checked him out, but because of this podcast, I've really grown to like, I have Jason Isbell time for myself. You know, at least once a month, I find a few songs and I jam on and I really love it. And so thank you for that.
I think you'll find too, come this spring and summer when it gets nice out, Jason Isbell is very good cigar music.
Maybe we should listen to some when we have a stogie after the show.
I think we will. It's good alone, quiet cigar music time. It really is. It fits that mood.
A little retrospective, but still, it's a good reality hug.
Some of the best parts about having a cigar is the chance to sit and think.
That's one of my favorite things about it. You can't just power through one. You got to stop and
carve some time out of your day.
Mm-hmm.
That's also like putting on a record. Put on a vinyl or listen to an album on your streaming Spotify. Let it play the whole way through. Find some time in your day to enjoy it. Enjoy the ride and be a part of the process. It's fun. We talked about Luke going into 2018, maybe an artist to watch, someone you think people should have their eye on that either might be already out there on the scene. They might know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're about to experience a breakthrough or someone kind of coming on the way up, a brand new person. Do you have anyone on that list or maybe a couple artists that you should watch in 2018?
I can think of two off the top of my head, you know, I could probably think of 10, but the two that I'm really excited for is St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Got a new album coming up this next year.
They should be a huge deal.
They should be. And I'm really excited for that. And I don't think they're going to like do anything popularity wise, but I just think that's going to be a good album to get a hold of. And then the 1975, I think, like we were talking earlier, you know, America tends to get a little stagnant anymore now with the music. Doesn't really go anywhere.
They'll find anything. A sound or a genre and beat the hell out of it.
Yeah, for like they'll 5 years.
Run it in the ground.
In the 1975, which, you know, they're a very kind of 80s, early 90s pop sounding band, but they do it very well, and they've been huge over in Europe and Britain and all that over there, and I have a feeling that this next album they have coming up, I think comes out in June, they said, May or June. I don't know. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm guessing maybe they're actually going to punch through the ceiling here a little bit and make some waves
over here. They've been on people's radars for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of they've been pegged for a while as the next big thing. Maybe this is the time it all comes together for them. We'll see.
You know, it's funny. Taylor Swift's 1989 album. While she was kind of writing that, I know she was kind of into Matt Healy, I believe is how you say the singer's name, and it said she was listening to Nights. And I can hear it in that whole album. It's like, oh, so you just listened to the 1975 a bunch and ripped it off. Now, I'm not saying that she intentionally did it but I can hear it in there that it's
heavily
like,
influenced.
Influence is a better word, yeah.
I got two artists myself. Yeah. I got a band called Jericho Woods. Imagine someone took Diamond Rio and they had a baby with like Old Dominion.
Okay.
And it's kind of a it's a five piece band. And they're the best parts of the 90s supergroups in country that we all liked, the harmonies and kind of the catchy fun songs with the modern production techniques. I think they're going to be humongous. Yeah. They've got some stuff on Spotify that's really good right now, a couple EPs on there. Jericho Woods, I would watch out for them blowing up this next summer, I think. I think it's going to be a real big deal.
Before you get into your do you have another one?
I do have one more.
Before you get into that, how did Midland do this year? Because I meant to check it out. And
they're
probably the
best group going right now in country.
Oh, that's good to
hear. They're having a moment. And they're doing really good on jukebox play. They're everywhere. They're blowing up iTunes weekly. They're doing really good right now.
Yeah, because I haven't been back to check it out. Well, I did a little bit, but
yeah.
I every time I listen to it, I've been like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah, they passed the authenticity test.
That's good.
I think it was Isbell that said, I don't care how you dress. Are the songs any good? That's all I care about. The songs are good. Listen to the music.
Because awesome.
They got a lot of crap for dressing like 70s rhinestone cowboy country guys. Yeah. But like we had this talk, you know, was it a gimmick to get attention? Is that who you are?
Or are they just having a good time and who
cares? I think
they're
just having a good time making really cool music. And it's like the harmonies are great. And it's got that Dwight Yoakam kind of rockabilly style to it. You know, Marty Robbins, Ricky Skaggs kind
of. It's got a little bit of Randy Travis in there sprinkled here and there. Yeah. And
but I think Jericho Woods is going to have a moment. They're kind of like a younger, like I said, Diamond Rio meets Zac Brown meets Old Dominion. And they're kind of more mainstream than I'm usually into. But you can just tell that you hear it and it's like, oh boy, that's going to be a big single on radio or a big deal in a couple months. Like, right. That's going to blow up, I think. So you guys got that feeling that it's, by this time next year, I might be sick of them because they're played so much. But you just feel like this is going to be a thing, I think.
Well, I look forward to it.
The number two on my list is a guy that we had on the show way back, our first episode, Tyler Childers.
Okay.
White House Road, Feathered Indian Tattoos.
I love that guy.
Man, that album came out and was one of the most talked about indie albums of this past year. But I think that going forward, he'll get a Grammy nod probably. I think he'll probably play on the show. And I think he's going to get some attention going forward. I think it's going to be a big breakout year for him.
Boy, man, we're just, you know, is country music finally making a turn? Because we got people like, you don't think so? We got Stapleton.
I don't think so. I wish it was, but I don't think so because there's still so much cornball stuff and so much stuff shoved down our throats.
Do we maybe romanticize music a little too much?
You know, Jason Isbell talked about this, and we'll go back to my guy again, about how, okay, when the CMAs happened, the big awards show, he couldn't be there because he was over in Europe on a tour. Mm-hmm. He had gigs he was already booked for, right? The big thing with the CMAs was the CMAs came out and said, we don't want anyone to talk about the Las Vegas massacre. We don't want any questions about it because it's, you know, the country award show. We don't want to get political. Jason Isbell's like, that's BS. And Brad Paisley said it too. That's BS. You know, just because we're artists doesn't mean we can't have an opinion on things, right? Country wants to be so safe and sanitized and commercialized and radio friendly and clean. That's not what country music is.
No.
I mean, it's opinions, it's outlaws, it's whiskey, it's breakups, it's divorce, it's all these things, right? So I think you're starting to see a little blowback on the over commercialization, the soccer mom van of country music. I think it's going to come back a little bit.
You know, you said something that I will leave my end of the year thought on music that you just probably said the best thing I've heard you say all year, and I'm going to steal this from you. So I've been looking for a word to describe most music that I hear nowadays. Some of it's fine and good and it's catchy and all that, but like it's all of it. It's over sanitized.
Very much. Yeah. Big time.
And you and me are the type of people that when we meet somebody or have a group of friends, we love you warts and all.
Yeah. I want the dirty parts, man.
Yeah.
I want to get to know the messed up stuff. I want to get to know you.
Yeah. Whatever you, if you're you, then we love it. If you're being fake, get out.
Yeah. There's two things I hate in this world are one uppers and fake people.
Yeah.
And they usually kind of run in the same circle usually.
Very much
the same,
so.
They're usually cut from the same cloth.
So anyway, now that just kind of helped me understand why it's so hard for us. It's music is over-sanitized and there's no warts, no cuts, no mistakes. And we don't like that because it's not real.
Yeah.
And I mean, granted, we've been kind of saying this the whole time, but I think I'm going to steal that, and that's what I'm going to be saying for a long time now, is just music nowadays is over-sanitized.
Yeah, and I'm back to the same point I made in the show, the first episode we did. There's really good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. You just got to go look for it. You have to work really hard to find good stuff. And
you do.
You got to search, and you got to plow through some crap, and you got to find it, but there's some incredible stuff being made right now. You just got to work a little harder. And you know, I hate to be that guy, but turn off the FM radio, because there's nothing good on there.
No.
It's like I said, it's soccer mom country. It's soccer mom pop. And that's fine. I mean, if you want mindless Walmart shopping music while you drive and hang out, and you don't have a favorite artist, don't have a collection of music, that's cool. If you're listening to this show, you probably got a vinyl record player.
Yeah.
You probably have 20 Spotify playlists. You're probably the guy when you get in the car on a road trip, you want a DJ, you want to take over. That's kind of the person you are. So if you're like us, if you're one of the outliers, the fringe people of music, the diehard lovers, then just keep looking for the good stuff.
Yeah. Spotify playlists. Real quick before you ended that so well, and I'm going to poop all over it with my random whatever.
No.
I was looking through my Spotify playlists, and I've been having this fear because I've definitely got like 50 or 60 plus playlists. I'm waiting for them to be like, you can't make any more, and it's like a real fear of mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, you ended that so poignant, and yeah.
Not as well. I want that a rant. It is. That's how I feel about it, man, because music is life, man. It's why I breathe. It's one of the main reasons why I breathe every day. I couldn't imagine life without music. It's every day I wake up, we got music playing through the entire house. You know, looking for new artists, looking for new songs. Today I took an hour out of my day to sit down on my chair and just scroll and find new music and listen to.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Add to my profiles, and that's it's so much. It is. It's a ton of fun.
All of a sudden, you got a new playlist full of like 30, 40 new songs that you know you like, and you just. Oh, that's
and
so.
And 10 will make the cut to be long-term favorites, but the rest will be fleeting in a moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back at playlists I made a few months ago, playlists I made on Amazon or wherever a few years ago, and it's like, I love that song. I love that song. That song was okay. It's fun, man.
You know what I do? Like, you know, I have probably about 5 or 6 genres that I tend to like really like a lot, you know, and tend to gravitate to. And I make all these playlists. And like you said, once I get down to that like 5 or 10 that actually last, then I add those to these specific playlists. Yep. And then, yeah, it's, oh man. So essentially we're going to go here when we're done. We're going to go sit down and have a stogie.
Yeah.
And chat and think of some new, fun, exciting things for the year to come.
Hey, man, this show is ours. It's yours. It's whatever you want it to be. So look out for some new ideas and some new stuff and to keep growing this thing, keep it moving along, and keep bringing to you music that we deem shareable, share-worthy. That's what the show's all about, because I'm not just going to bring you any old crap. You're not going to bring any just whatever so-and-so to the show. We're going to put our stamp of approval on artists and music that we really think is worthy of being shared with your friends and family.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. It is. Like, here, come look at my music collection and look at what I'm into. That's a big move sometimes in relationships or friendships. And
it's like,
it can be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Can be.
One other thing I was going to throw out there. If anybody has any ideas on like things we can do to help grow, cultivate the show, make it fun, or just anything, please hit it. Text us if you know us, or hop on the Facebook. If you want to come on the show, anything.
We want to talk music to everybody, anybody. It's the best part of the show.
I think things feel comfortable now, and we're ready to just,
we're going to move forward.
Yeah.
Let's look out for 2018. It's going to be a fun one, I think.
So, do you have anything else to
say? I got a feeling.
Anything else to add for the end of the year?
Not really, man. I think, like I said, it was, if you're just listening to what's on the mainstream radio, you had a very depressing year in music.
That was so bluntly amazing.
But if you went beyond the FM dial and you looked into things, there's some awesome stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
If all you heard this year on mainstream radio was Luke Bryan sing hunting, fishing, and loving every day, and you didn't get hope in the high road, sorry.
You need to quit being such a basic bro.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like a lot of mainstream stuff because it's fun, relatable, and catchy. But if that's all you got going on, it's like you just can't eat ice cream every day.
Hot dogs and tater tots are great.
Yeah.
But there's so many other things to get.
Yeah. There's filet mignon. Yeah. There's, you know, prime rib.
Have you ever had pho? It's so good.
Have you ever had truffle butter on your steak? Come on, that's what I'm talking about.
You're right.
Let's close things. I think it's been a fun run, man. Been a fun start to our show. 2018, we're coming in hot. We'll see you guys on the other side of the coin. See you soon. We'll be right back.